Eight man-made marvels of the world. Made with stone, clay, or even plants, these creations are inspiring. Mysterious and haunting. The Moai of Easter Island.
Around 800 AD, Polynesian boats arrived on a tiny volcanic island, 3,200 kilometers off the coast of South America. Known by its original inhabitants as Rapa Nui and Easter Island in English, it is the most remote inhabited place on Earth, and one of the most mysterious. The mystery concerns the nearly 1,000 giant statues called Moai around the island. Their average height is 4.5 meters, but some are almost 10 meters and weigh nearly 80 tons. Almost all the statues came from a single quarry and were somehow transported up to 15 kilometers to their final positions, an engineering feat that would have required many people working together. Yet, when the first Europeans arrived here in 1722, the island's population had crashed. At one point, just 110 Rapa Nui Islanders remained, from a probable population of 20,000. It is thought that overexploitation of the island's resources resulted in famine and war. But what was the purpose of the Moai? And why had most of them been toppled and broken when Europeans arrived? One theory says that the Moai were believed to make the soil fertile. The quarry they come from is very fertile, as it contains many minerals, but sadly, the Moai statues could not avert the devastating famine caused by overexploitation. In that sense, many now see the tragic fate of Easter Island as a warning for the modern world. Ingenious and green, the living tree bridges of India.
In northeastern India, there is a mountainous state called Meghalaya, which means home of the clouds. The local people, the Khasi, are farmers, and this is one of the wettest regions in the world, receiving up to 11 meters of rainfall a year. Few Khasi villages are accessible by car, and even fewer still during the wet season, when work stops for 4 or 5 months. But the Khasi have an extraordinary solution. They make living bridges from the roots of ficus trees. Having identified a good place to install a bridge over a ravine, they plant a ficus tree on either side. After about 10 years, the trees begin to send out aerial roots. The Khasi encourage these roots to go over the ravine using bamboo poles. Eventually, the two trees meet and their roots fuse. More roots create safety barriers on either side. When the roots are big enough, people can begin to walk across without damaging them. The process takes many years, but some of these bridges are centuries old. They are also more durable than any stone or metal structure, clearly demonstrating that it's always best to work with Mother Nature than against her. Romantic and majestic, the ruins of Petra.
When a Swiss explorer was taken to the ruins of Petra in 1812, the story he told caused a sensation. His drawings showed an entire lost city hidden in the hills of the Jordanian desert. There were grandiose temples, theaters, villas, and Roman baths, all carved directly into the red rock. Long ago, this had been a successful cosmopolitan trading center, lived in by tens of thousands of people. Now, just a few Bedouin nomads used it to shelter from the desert sun. His discovery inspired innumerable adventure stories since. Today, many people know Petra from Hollywood's Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. But it is far bigger and more impressive than the part you see in the film. The buildings are gigantic caves carved in the style of ancient Greek architecture. Uniquely, Petra is a city created by subtraction rather than addition. The Nabataeans, the Arab tribe who made it, controlled the market for frankincense and myrrh, precious scents widely used for religious ceremonies. Petra's decline began when an earthquake destroyed much of it in 363 AD and continued as important trade routes changed, ruining its value as a business center. If you're the sort of person for whom the words lost city fire the imagination, Petra is the real thing. Zen and beautiful, the great gardens of Japan.
For Europeans, the word garden evokes colorful flowers or a place to have a summer barbecue. The Japanese are more ambitious. For them, gardens are an art form, a living expression of philosophy and spirituality. They are meticulously planned landscapes, combining water, rock, and greenery, with the aim of capturing the beauty of the world in miniature. When you sit and contemplate one of these gardens, you are effectively placed in an instant state of meditation. Like so much in Japanese culture, they take it to the extreme. Achieving this level of artistry demands an army of gardeners maintaining every aspect of the living artwork with an obsessive attention to detail. For example, some gardens celebrate the beauty of mosses. One, Kokedera, has 120 varieties, and workers will go over every centimetre of ground with tweezers to ensure there is no grass. Similarly, to protect the trees from winter snows, gardeners attach ropes to every branch. Speaking of winter, there is no good time to visit these gardens because they're designed to be beautiful in all seasons. One would expect nothing less from Japan. Fragile and extreme, the Terracotta Army.
Ying Zheng was just 13 years old when he ascended to the throne of Qin, a kingdom on the northwestern border of China. This was 2,246 years ago, when the country was composed of multiple warring kingdoms. By the age of 38, he had conquered them all and declared himself the first emperor of China. The empire would only last for 4 years after his death at the age of 49, but by then the first emperor had been placed in a tomb majestic enough to rival those of the pharaohs. In 1974, farmers digging a well discovered some clay statues. This was the first the world knew of the famous Terracotta Army, around 8,000 life-size individualized statues depicting the first emperor's military. But that was just the start. We now know that every aspect of the emperor's world was copied and buried close to his tomb. His court officials, attendants, his musicians and acrobats, his animals, and much more. Others, such as his concubines and the artisans who worked on his tomb, are said to have been buried alive with the man himself. Ying Zheng's burial was perhaps the most extreme, megalomaniacal burial in history. Out of respect, Chinese archaeologists have never opened the emperor's tomb itself. Spectral analysis has revealed the presence of large quantities of metal, suggesting that the rumors of great treasure inside are true. But we may never know more than that. High and isolated, the Tiger's Nest Monastery of Bhutan.
The tiny Himalayan kingdom of Bhutan, with a population of a little more than 700,000, is one of the least visited countries in the world. That's because the government strictly controls tourism to protect the environment and the traditional way of life of the people. Which is a good idea, because the one thing that would be sure to spoil the effect of trekking up to its famous Tiger's Nest Monastery would be to have a tour bus overtake you. Not that a bus could get there. The monastery is on the edge of a 900-metre drop and only accessible by foot. The 2 to 3 hour trek up the mountain is along a track decorated with Buddhist prayer flags to bless the surrounding landscape. Inside the monastery, photography is forbidden. The Bhutanese are not interested in seeing their spiritual sites displayed on Instagram to get likes. Unique and magnificent. The Wreck of the Vasa.
When the gigantic warship Vasa was launched in 1628, it was the pride of the Swedish Navy. The King of Sweden wanted a vessel that symbolized his imperial ambitions, an enormous red galleon with 64 powerful bronze cannons. The ship was also a colossal work of art, featuring more than 700 sculptures and decorations. Nothing like it had ever been built, and dignitaries from all over Europe were invited to Stockholm to see the ship's launch. Unfortunately, after a short maiden voyage of 1,300 meters, it sank. The problem was that the Vasa was top-heavy and couldn't stay upright in the wind. It was very embarrassing, and after an inconclusive inquiry, everyone preferred to forget about it. Until 1961, that is, when the Vasa was raised from the seabed in an incredible feat of engineering. The ancient ruins and sculptures we usually see are all made of stone. Yet our true history, the one of ordinary people who are long forgotten, was mostly made of wood. But wood is fragile. Eventually it rots, burns, or is eaten by worms. So everything built of wood has long since disappeared, leaving only the great stone monuments. Except for the Vasa, which was preserved by the glacial waters of the Baltic. It's just as impressive as the King of Sweden wanted it to be. A vast ship, big enough for 150 sailors and 300 soldiers. You are tiny beside it. But more impressive is the frisson you get, knowing that this fragile object has voyaged 400 years, in time rather than on water, to arrive here today, intact and somehow more real than all the stone ruins around the world. Awesome and exciting, the city of Angkor.
At the turn of the first millennium, the city of Angkor was the largest urban area in the world. The heart of the ancient Khmer Empire in contemporary Cambodia, it was the size of modern Paris, with vast temples and monuments requiring more stone than all of the ancient Egyptian structures combined. Then, with the fall of the Khmer Empire a couple of centuries later, it was gradually abandoned to the jungle. Today, some of it is still covered in jungle, but only because the merging of architecture and nature is so beautiful that nobody wants to change it. The roots of ficus trees climb all over the stones of the Ta Prohm Temple, better known as the Lara Croft Temple, because it was a key location in the first Tomb Raider movie. The 54 towers of the amazing Bayon Temple feature around 200 gigantic smiling faces, each 3 meters high, looking out in every direction. It's like nothing you can see anywhere else in the world.